Hello, hello, my fellow podcast people. I hope you're doing very, very well on this fine Wednesday night, or whatever day and time it is for you right now as you're listening to this podcast episode. I'm your host, as per usual, Azrin, the language nerd. You can find me primarily on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and YouTube, but also secondarily whenever I feel like posting on TikTok and on Tumblr. My username on all these platforms is exactly the same. It is at polyglotazrin. That is spelled P-O-L-Y-G-L-O-T-A-Z or Z, depending on your country, R-E-N. And welcome to another podcast episode. I'm very, very excited, as per usual, to be recording this one here. First and foremost, a very big shout out to the people who have jumped over from the podcast and have started following me on other social media networks. I've been getting your messages and I really appreciate it. So for those of you who are not following me on Facebook, on Instagram, on Snapchat, and on YouTube, I would highly recommend, if you use those platforms, to go and follow me. I post very different types of content on every single platform that I am on. And so I genuinely believe that for the people here who are trying to get better at a language, or who want to learn more about me, or who are interested in language learning, I fundamentally believe that the content that I post on different social media platforms is content that you would find useful and that you would find valuable and that you would find interesting, entertaining, etc. So I'd recommend you go do that. I would really appreciate it. And I think you guys would probably get something out of it as well. Secondly, I think I'm kind of screwed tomorrow, as some of the people who've listened to this podcast the past few days, you guys know this. Tomorrow, I have a test in my Chinese linguistics class. And as I said a few days ago in the podcast, I am not fully prepared for this test. We've been studying content in the class that is not necessarily super duper interesting for me. And as a result, I've not necessarily been paying as much attention to the course material as I should. And I am not fully prepared. I'm going to try and catch up a little bit tonight and do a little bit of final studying, and hopefully I can pull off a 75%, a 70%, you know, something in that range on the test. That would be a relief right now. And but we'll see. We'll really see how the test is. I have no idea if this professor writes hard tests or gives us easy tests or what it's really going to look like. But let's just say right now I'm not super optimistic right now on my hopes. So I'm crossing my fingers and hoping I can get through it at least at a semi-decent level. But anyway, I'm not super duper concerned. Even if I don't do amazingly, I do feel like I can make it up with other tests, other quizzes, other presentations, etc. I think the biggest key for me tomorrow and the biggest focus of the studying that I do, especially tonight, is to try and figure out what do I need to do to increase my odds of getting a 70 or 75% on that test. So I need to try and dissect what the teacher prioritizes in the class, try and psychoanalyze her, figure out what do I fundamentally believe I will need to know, and make sure I spend my time on those kinds of things. Weirdly, whenever I've been a student, even when I was a full-time student in the past, with my first degree, that was something I was uncannily decent at. I would be pretty good at knowing what kinds of things would likely be on the test and what kinds of things would likely not be on the test. And I was pretty good at figuring that out, which allowed me to sometimes study slightly less than my peers, but still get a, you know, a decent mark on the test or on the quiz. Now, I realized recently that there are a decent number of people who have started following me quite recently. And so I want to spend the first few minutes of this podcast doing a bit of a fun facts about Azrin, talking about myself, talking about some different things that you guys may or may not know, some interesting facts, some funny things, some kind of personal things, going into a few different things about me, and play a bit of a quote-unquote trivia game. Let's see how you guys do on this trivia game, okay? So let's jump in. Fact number one, I'm from Canada, so I live in Calgary, which is a city on the western side of Canada. We are very close to the Rocky Mountains, which are gorgeous, beautiful. We get a decent amount of tourists who visit my area because, or rather primarily because of those mountains. And it's amazing. I love it here. The winters are pretty cold, I'll be real. We have a 6 month, you know, 6, 7, 8 months of pretty cold weather. Lots of snow, you know, below 10, below 20, minus 30 kind of temperatures. But then the rest of the year is not too bad. Like, for example, in the summer, and this is an interesting fact, because some people think that Canada's cold all the time, which is not true. In the summer, it can definitely get up to like 30 degrees Celsius, which in Fahrenheit is looking at the 90s, approximately 90s, mid 90s, somewhere in there. So pretty warm and pretty comfortable temperatures. As a matter of fact, in the summer, sometimes it gets too hot and you're like, ah, I'm melting. What is happening? I personally, for those of you guys that don't know, I speak quite a few languages. I speak English, I speak French, I speak Spanish very, very fluently. I speak Gujarati, which is my mother tongue, decently well. I would say at a conversational kind of level. And then I have a, let's say, intermediate level in Mandarin. I have a goal of learning 8 different languages in my lifetime. Ideally, I'm trying to get to 8 languages by the time I'm 45. So that gives me another 19 years from now to get to that goal. And the 8 languages that I would like to speak at a near native level are English, French, Spanish, Gujarati, Hindi, Mandarin, Russian, and Arabic. That is my minimum. I would, in an ideal world, like to get there by the time, like I said before, that I'm 45 years old. And 45 onwards, who knows what I'll work on. I think, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll add more languages to the list. Maybe I'll be content with the 8 that I have. Like, I'm not really sure where I'll go after that point, but that is really where, that's kind of where my mindset is right now. And it's a bit of an interesting story, because often people will ask me, Azrin, where the heck did you get that goal from? Why those 8 languages? How did you choose that? And it's a funny story, because when I was in my teenage years, I would say approximately 17, 18 years old, somewhere in there, I started to realize more and more that I was interested in learning languages. And more importantly, I started to realize that I was really good at it. And it was something that came, relatively speaking, naturally to me, especially when it came to the pronunciation side, the oral side, the conversational side of language learning. And I decided at the time that, maybe I should like try and learn a bunch of different languages. That would be pretty cool. That sounds like fun. And I made a list at the time of what I believe to be major languages around the world. So obviously English I already spoke, French was something I already spoke, I was learning Spanish at the time, Arabic is spoken in many countries, Mandarin is spoken by so many people, Russia, although I'm not sure how many speakers Russian has, but my logic at the time when I made this list was that Russia is a really big country, and so I thought that must be a major language of the world. And then obviously we had, what was left on the list? Oh, Hindi, of course, which is another pretty major language. It's a major language of India. And I thought to myself, I'm Indian, I should probably speak Hindi. And along the similar train of thought, I decided at the time that I definitely will need to get to a much stronger level in my mother tongue, which is Gujarati, than I was at the time. So currently, as I'm 26 years old, or almost 26 years old in a few days, not in a few days, but shortly, basically, I am much stronger at Gujarati at this point, but I still do have a long way to go. A couple other things about myself. I work full-time. A lot of people think I'm a student. And as a matter of fact, I've been realizing lately that a good percentage of people have no idea what the heck I actually do for work. So myself, I teach languages as my full-time job. And no, I do not teach in a school. No, I do not teach with a private institution. No, none of that. Those are always the questions I get. I teach basically for myself. I work for myself. I run classes, language classes for English, French, and Spanish learners locally in my city. And that's kind of what I do. That's how I pay the bills. That's where my income comes from. I have been out of school for about 4.5 years now. I graduated with my very first degree in 2014. I did a degree in French and Spanish. I graduated from the University of Calgary, so I had a double major. And after that, I actually ran a window cleaning business. So I ran a window cleaning business for a total of about 5.5 years. 2 of those years being very, very full-time, with about 3.5 being more on the part-time, I guess you could say alongside my studies, if that makes sense, while I was at university. So that's what I did for work. My life was very businessy for quite a good chunk of time. And it's only really been the past couple of years where I've been working in the field of language learning, in the field that I actually got my degree in. Currently, I have returned to school. I have gone back for a second bachelor's degree in East Asian language studies with a concentration in Mandarin. So basically what that program means is that I will take many, many Mandarin classes. I will take some Japanese classes. That is a program requirement. And then I will take some classes that have to do with Asian related topics, whether it be history, whether it be linguistics, like I'm doing right now, whether it be whatever it is. There's a variety of different topics and classes that I have to take. So this is my second degree. I'm doing it alongside working full time. Some people will say, Azrin, are you a tutor? I usually reply, no, I don't really call myself a tutor, because tutors to me is one-on-one and generally working with people who are in school. Versus myself, especially lately, I've been doing more and more group work. So I teach small groups of 2 to 4 students for the most part. I will teach one-on-one from time to time. I do have some private students, but generally speaking, I do a lot more group kind of work nowadays. And so, that's a couple little things about me. On my family, I have a younger sister who is 23 years old, I believe. Yes, 23, that is correct. She's 23 years old. My sister has cerebral palsy, and so she is mentally disabled. The simplest way to think about it is she is 23 years old, but her brain is developed at the level of someone who is two years old. So she is very comparable to someone who is 2. She's still in diapers. She speaks probably more like a 2-year-old. Her body is it's a funny concept actually, because the way she's physically developed, she is definitely bigger than a 2-year-old, but her face is really small. Her hands are quite small. Her feet are small. And so often when people look at her, it's very difficult to place exactly how old she is, because she's got some elements that make you think she is like 5 years old or 4 years old or 3 years old, like very, very little. But then she's tall. She's like, well, not super tall, but she's much taller than a 5-year-old by like double their height or whatever it is, right? So that's definitely an interesting dynamic. I'm her alternate guardian, meaning if my mom were to pass away or something were to happen, I would be the one who looks after her. Right now, I live at home with my family. So it's actually an interesting thing. I'm 26 years old and I still live at home. So I help take care of my sister. My mom obviously does a lot as well. Both of us work. So during the daytime, my sister will go out during different day programs with a couple of different ladies. She goes swimming. She'll go to drumming. She does a variety of different activities. But also, an interesting fact, I want to go backwards a little bit. I said I still live at home, which is a really weird concept, especially to many people who are from a Canadian or American kind of background and maybe not coming from an Asian background. Being 26 and still living in your mother's house is something that often is viewed kind of negatively. People might view it as, wait, what are you doing? You're 26 and living at home? Like, that's kind of weird. Like, that's not normal per se in North America. In India, that's pretty common. In a lot of Asian countries, that's common. But, you know, out on this side of the world, that's not the most common thing in the world. And for me, the logic behind it is that I don't want to move out and have to go into debt. I don't want to have a lot of debt. And I don't want to have a massive mortgage or be putting a lot of money into rent and food and all of that. And I'm lucky in the sense that I come from an Indian family and my mom is basically like, stay at home for, you know, there's no pressure to move out essentially. And so ever since I've been 18 years old, I've been saving money to be able to move out and minimize the debt, minimize kind of the expenses I have. And, you know, if I buy a house, not have the most massive mortgage in the world, or if I buy an apartment, not have the most massive, you know, mortgage in the world, and I can have a more reasonable one, and hopefully I'm not paying a mortgage off for years and years and years to come, and hopefully when I move out, I only have a 15-year mortgage or a 10-year mortgage or a 20-year mortgage and not like a 35 or 40-year mortgage or anything crazy like that, right? Like I want to make sure I'm really set up and I'm ready in a good financial place before I move out. And that's kind of what, it's kind of how I view it and how I choose to attack it. The other thing as well is that once I move out, I know things will change in a lot of ways. What I mean by that is what the second I move out, I'm now going to become my sister's guardian, or rather her dad, quote unquote, multiple times a week. I will take her 2-3 days a week and I will be the one who watches her. So immediately that's going to mean I can't work as hard. I can't be sitting here in my car at 9:16, 9:15 p.m. recording a podcast and knowing it's okay because mom's got my sister at home, right? Like I'm going to have more responsibility, more than I already have. So right now I'm really using this platform of being at home to work a lot, to try and move forward with my languages, to really experience different things. And I'm gonna squeeze that orange as much as I can before I move out and before I move into that chapter of my life, which by the way, it's gonna be super fun. I love hanging out with my sister. It's gonna be an exciting period of my life, but I'm just not in the place right now to kind of move into that chapter. I am not dating currently, and interesting little fun fact. I have an interesting perspective on dating, which is interesting, I find. I'm not someone who actively seeks out to be dating or to be in relationships or things like that. That's not at all how I roll. I'm quite single-mindedly focused on my own work and kind of what's going on in my own life. And my whole perspective on it is, as I'm focused on my own thing, either option A, someone's gonna kind of fall into my zeitgeist, cross my path, we're gonna get along, and then off we go. Or option B, I'm gonna finally at one point decide that, maybe I should actually look for someone to, you know, date and get married and all of that. But basically, my whole life, like ever since I've been like a teenager, like I've always been in my own kind of world, working on my own stuff. Like even back as a teenager, I was just like, you know, or like back in university, like, you know, I was like running my window cleaning business. I was in school. I was playing soccer. I was doing different things. And it's not that I didn't have time for it, but it's just that, I don't know, like it just wasn't the primary focus of my life at all, right? And it's an interesting kind of idea. And for me, the one aspect where I'm kind of lucky is that the way I live my life, I meet a lot of people, a lot of people, like a ridiculous amount, both in my city and out of my city. One thing I haven't talked about yet, which we can get into in a minute, in my city, I run lots of events for language learners that are very well attended. We have very good attendance at them, 20, 30, 40, 50, depending on the event, between 20 and 100 people. And they're every week. Every week we have the different events. So, and it's not even been that long that I've been hosting these events. So they are going to get bigger and it is going to become a much bigger thing. And, you know, I feel reasonably confident in saying that I will become someone who's relatively well known in my city. It's not guaranteed that that's going to happen, but with the trajectory I've been on for the past couple of years, that is a possibility that might come through. And in that kind of world, like with me being the center of language learning in my city, like the number of people I'm meeting is pretty crazy. And like finding people to date and all that stuff is at my fingertips in a lot of ways. If I ever wanted to pursue it, like there's a lot of girls I could be talking to and asking out and all of that good stuff. Let's jump into, I know this is going to be a longer podcast, guys, so might be a 40-minute podcast. I promise we're going to get into some language learning related topics. We will get into some, but I really want to make sure we paint a good picture of myself, because I realize I've never really done that, and there's so many misideas of what I do, you know, facts about me, where I live, and there's so many weird ideas that I've seen when people have messaged me and stuff, where it's like, how did you think that? And then I realize, oh, I never talked about it, right? So in my city, and actually, let's change this. One thing people always ask me is, Azarin, you're teaching languages. Cool. So why are you making content? You don't sell anything on your website. You don't sell anything on your content. Nobody could ever buy anything from you. It's very difficult to buy something from me. It really is. Like, you could hire me to speak somewhere, you could fly me down, which is something that's happened. I have spoken at events. I do enjoy speaking at events. Like you could hire me for things, but it's difficult, right? It's not, I don't have like an online program that I'm pushing. Like, there's no real alternative agenda behind the content that I make. And so people often ask me, well, Azarn, why do you do what you do? Like, why are you posting content on Facebook? Why are you making all this Instagram? Why do you do daily podcasts? Why all the YouTube videos, Snapchats? Why do you do free weekly events basically every Saturday, and you don't charge, and you just teach people and you work with them? And why do you do all of that? And I think I've been really thinking about this. People ask me this all the time, and I'm trying to really narrow in on an answer. I wish I had a really surefire answer I could give, but I'm getting better at answering this. I think for me, I feel like I'm trying to get to the next level. I think a lot of people view me and they go, wow, Azarn's really successful. He's doing well. He's working full time. He's got an income. He's got students and this and that, the other thing. But to me, in my brain, I've just started. This is the beginning. I'm literally on step two, in my brain. And I have so much more to go. And so I'm working, I'm building community, I'm making podcasts, I want people to follow me, I want to speak at events. I'm just in such a, I feel like there's so much more building left to go. And I feel like where I am now is nowhere near the potential of where I could be in 10 years, 20 years, 5 years, 30 years, right? I feel like I can really be in a much bigger place, at a much, a place where there's more good stuff, and I can help more people, and I've got more money, and I've got more opportunity, and I'm helping more people learn languages, and I'm deeper in language learning communities. I get to do cooler things. I get to meet other people. I get to travel. And ultimately, the thing is, I don't know what the exact outcome will be of posting so many podcasts, making all the Instagram content, the Facebook content, doing collaboration after collaboration after collaboration, shaking everyone's hands, talking to people, hosting events. I just feel like if I just work at this and keep building, the opportunities will come. And there's going to be a point, I don't know where it'll be, but you know, it's like whenever you try something new, like a business or a different skill, at some point you might start to plateau. At some point you might realize that, oh, I don't know if I can go further. I don't know if I can succeed more. I don't know if there's more room for opportunity. It's like if you work in a company and eventually there's no more upward movement, and you're like, oh, this is as high as I go. That happens at certain companies, especially if it's a smaller kind of company and there's not a lot of positions you can move into. Like right now, there's so much more. As I keep working, there's more and more good things, and I feel like I'm working my way up in this company where I work for myself. I'm working my way up into different kinds of roles and different things and different cool opportunities, and I don't know where the ceiling is. And it's almost like right now that I'm trying to find the ceiling to figure out, when will it pop? When will it, like, when will things, you know, will it ever crash? Will Azarn the language nerd become like, you know, a thing of the past where I fail and things don't work out and blah, blah, blah happens? Maybe. Who the hell knows? Maybe. Will it be that I'm really successful and then I can't become more successful because of whatever reasons? Maybe I don't want to take on more. Maybe I don't want to, you know, who the heck knows? There's a million variables. Who the hell knows? We don't know. And I think that's so remarkably exciting. I really do, and it's so much fun right now to keep trying to grow and keep trying to push forward, see what happens, and I'm just having so much fun. So much damn fun. It's amazing. Whew. So yeah, I mean, anything else on myself? I could talk about myself forever, but I think that's talked about a lot of the different common questions I receive, a lot of the things that I think there's miscommunications on. I think we've done a pretty good job. So let's jump into some language learning topics. And today I want to answer a couple of different questions. So as I stated in the beginning of this podcast, a few of you have been reaching out to me saying, hey, I follow your podcast. Now I'm following you on Instagram. I wanted to say hello. Or now I'm following you on Facebook. I wanted to say hi, or on Snapchat or whatever. And so I've been receiving a couple questions, and I wanted to take some time to answer them. The first question that I want to talk about here is one that I have talked about in the past, but I haven't talked about it recently, so it's good to revisit it. It's the topic of technology and language learning. And the person wants to know, you know, will technology, how deep do I think language learning technology will go? And my personal belief, and I could be really wrong on this, but when you look at it historically, language learning technology has just consistently made it easier to learn languages. Once upon a time, we only had textbooks, right? Then we had CDs. Then there are also VHS tapes. Then we continued to progress. There were MP3 programs. On the websites, there'd be websites. There'd be YouTube. Now then there's Facebook. Now there's Instagram. Now there's websites like iTalki. There's language learning apps. And technology continues to make it easier to learn different languages, right? And I think that technology will continue to do that. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but I would not be shocked. I would not be super surprised if there is a world where we have an earpiece, where we have something where that does a lot of the translation work for us. AKA, you speak to me in French and I hear it in English. Now, I think that's a distant future. I don't even know if we'll ever get there. That seems like such a crazy world. It seems so impossible. It seems so foreign. But man, I would not be surprised if that happened. Like, my initial prediction, and I could be so wrong, literally I have no basis on this. It's just something I think about and it seems like maybe it makes sense. My prediction is this: language learning is going to grow in popularity for a while. As there's more apps, as more people try and learn them, as there's different programs and courses. And I think, you know, people will continue to try and learn new languages, okay? I think there will be a growth and people will, at least it will stay constant, but probably grow, right? Especially with things like learning English and traveling abroad and moving to America and in England and different places, especially with English, right? So I think that number is not going anywhere in the near future. I do think maybe there is a date and time, some point in the future, where technology evolves and we don't need to learn languages anymore, at least not to the same level of fluency. Maybe we have like an earpiece. Maybe it's, I don't know what that looks like, but I do think there might be a technology that, you know, makes it optional to learn a language. That yes, if you go and learn the language, maybe you can communicate at a deeper level. Maybe you can really get the accent and get the cultural nuances. But I do think there might be a technology that comes out that kind of quote unquote gets the job done. The same way right now, using Google Translate as you travel around is not perfect by any means, but gets the job done. I think there might be a more advanced version of that that gets the job done at a much higher level that actually makes us question, should I learn it or should I not? When that happens, I think there will be a lot of people who choose to not learn languages, and there will be potentially less value in knowing another language. Potentially, okay? If we fast forward even more, 150 years, 200 years, whatever it is, however long, I think it'll swing back. I think that the world works in pendulums. We go back. Things are popular, then they're not. Then they become popular. Let's look at, for example, if we look at the history of communication, okay? We had the radio. Radio was audio. We listened only. Then the television came out and radio was killed. Or rather, let me rephrase, radio was not killed, but television took some of the attention away from radio and radio became less popular. Okay? People still listened, but audio was now less popular because we had the visual medium that we could watch. Then we move forward, and then podcasting came out, which is basically modern radio, and podcasting is on the rise. So now the world is switching back to radio and radio is gaining popularity again, right? The same way with, that's kind of how the world works, I think, in many respects. Another example would be records, right? Records used to be a hot technology. We listened to records. Then technology evolved and we stopped. Now the pendulum has swung back, and if you have a record collection, that's cool, that's vintage, that's like, really like chic, and it's kind of really interesting, right? And so the world has swung back, and pendulums and records have come back in a different way than before, but nevertheless the popularity has returned in some way, shape, or form. And so even if/when the popularity of language learning diminishes, I do think there'd be a point where it swings back. Maybe a celebrity goes and randomly learns a language and people are like, whoa, that celebrity can speak French? Wow, that's cool. Holy moly, that's so freaking cool. And it brings a boost in popularity again. And now it's cool to speak another language, and that's the new thing that people should do, right? Or maybe, who knows, maybe Azrin's 89 years old and I speak 89 different languages at the time. That would be super cool, no? 89 languages. Anyway, and like some news outlet catches wind of me. It's like, whoa, Azrin speaks 89 languages. What the heck? 89-year-old dude lives in the forest and speaks 89 languages. That's the newspaper headline. That's the thing. And all of a sudden, people are like, whoa, that's so cool. And then it brings a resurgence. Who the heck knows? But I do think the world often works in pendulums, and I do think that might be kind of how that evolves. I hope that answers the question. I forget who sent it in. Let me open up my Instagram here. Can I open this up while I record this? I'm not sure, but anyway, thank you for that question. Question number two has to do with language exchanges. Someone's asking me about, to talk a little bit more about it, give some best practices, some things to not do, how to take best advantage, etc. So with language exchanges, here's the thing, right? With language exchanges, I think they're a fantastic tool. However, that being said, there are some things that you can do to make sure you really take full advantage of them, and some things you can do to make sure that you, some things to make sure you do not do. So the first thing with language exchanges to be mindful of is that in language exchanges, one of the most common things that happens is you don't know what to talk about. You run out of things to talk about. So what I'd highly recommend is you go into Google right now, and there's a document. I wish I remember what the exact website was, but I saved it on my computer ages ago. Feel free to send me a message on Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat or wherever. I can send it to you. I can send you the document, but I'm sure you can find it. If you search in Google, topics for language exchanges, I think there is a document potentially made by FluentU, I believe it's called. Like Fluent, then the letter U, I think. And it's like this one-page document with like a whole bunch of conversation starters and topics. And you can use those in your language exchanges to spark the conversation. That is the number one thing I could recommend for all language exchanges, is to make sure that you're using a document like that to make sure you have something to talk about. I think for language exchanges as well, is you want to make sure it's done relatively fairly. You want to make sure that one thing that can happen is maybe one person in the language exchange is way more advanced than the other. And if you are more advanced in the language than your partner, it's easy to just try and talk in the strong language. Does that make sense? Because communication is easy. But really make an effort to try your absolute best to split it relatively evenly. So if you're a pure beginner in the language, obviously you won't be able to say as much, but maybe, just maybe, you can have some topics prepared to be like, hey, I want to know how to say this, and you learn those things. And maybe the other person is teaching you those things in your mother tongue, the one that you're helping them with, and then it's going to be a win-win. They're going to be happy because you're speaking in, let's say, English the whole time, or a good percentage of the time. You're going to be happy because you're learning things in the language that you're trying to learn. And it ends up being a win-win kind of situation. I think with language exchanges as well, I'd highly recommend you have a tandem kind of exchange with various different people to see who you get along with. And you'll find that in different language exchanges, you will learn different things from different people. You'll also find that you get along with different people and don't get along with others. So I do recommend you try having exchanges with other people. With language exchanges as well is, please keep in mind that sometimes people are going to be flaky. Let's say you are really serious about it. You find a language exchange partner, you make an appointment, they might not show up. Please be aware of that and don't get discouraged. It is okay. In terms of anything else on language exchanges, a couple of resources for language exchanges would be italki.com. So that's the letter italki.com, or an application called HelloTalk. These are a website and an application you can use to find people to do language exchanges with. Both of them are free, and I'm a big fan of both. So anyway, anything else language learning related I want to talk about here? Let's finish on this topic. This is a long podcast as it is. Let's really milk this and make it the longest one you've ever had. I want to talk about this one, which is a really off-topic thing, but it's something that's occurred to me recently. It has to do with different elements of learning languages and which elements are easier slash harder. Because in every single, there's different elements of learning languages. There's grammar, there's pronunciation, there's reading, there's writing, there's speaking, there's conversation, there's dialectal differences, there's, you know, connected speech, there's a lot of different, you know, elements and different things of vocabulary, different parts of learning languages, and different parts of learning languages are going to be difficult or going to be more difficult than others, and that's just kind of a truth. Now, obviously, something that you might find difficult, I might find to be easy, and vice versa, so it's not like different elements of language have an inherent difficulty per se. I don't think that's necessarily 100% true. I think the difficulty can be subjective, but that is definitely a truth of language learning. And, you know, it's funny because one thing I was thinking about is why a lot of people tend to struggle with the same elements of language. Let me explain. I've been working with a few different people on accent reduction, on learning pronunciation. Excuse me. And it's funny, right? Because often when we're doing these accent reduction classes, my students are struggling. Their brain is working. Like, they are tired by the end of our 1 hour, half hour, hour and a half, or hour and a half lesson. They are exhausted. Their brain has been given a workout often. And often we haven't even done all that much in the class when we're going through this accent reduction. But on the flip side, if we do like grammar or something like that, if we're doing vocabulary, they have a much higher tolerance. They have a much higher endurance for it. And this fascinated me. This is just, I don't even know why it fully happens, but it interests me oh so much. Like, if you do pronunciation with me, for example, I can do that all frickin' day. It's hard for me sometimes, it's tricky, it's frustrating, but it energizes me and I'm motivated and I want to do it. On the other hand, if we're doing grammar, for me, I feel like I have an average tolerance. I have an average amount of focus, or maybe even slightly below average sometimes. And I find that so fascinating. My guess is that it has to do with the different parts of the brain and what parts of the brain people like to use versus don't like to use, or what parts of the brain, you know, for some people work better and they're stronger with than others. And I just find that really interesting. Using the pronunciation example, I actually wonder sometimes if people struggle with pronunciation due to it being a muscular task. What I mean by that is when you look at grammar or you know, learning how to write effective papers or learning how to memorize vocabulary or basically most or various, a big percentage of other elements when it comes to learning languages, when we look at those, a lot of them are intellectual tasks. Remembering vocabulary is an intellectual task. It's intellectual, using the brain. Pronunciation is a muscular task. It's controlling the tongue. It's controlling the vocal cords and the muscles in the mouth and the lips and it's controlling muscles. And you're trying to do muscular training. It's like if you're trying to learn a sport in comparison to trying to learn math. Like, they're really different kinds of skills. And I sometimes wonder that some people who really don't like pronunciation or who really struggle with it, it's because it's a muscular task and they are trying to attack it as if it is a linguistical task. But it's not. It's muscle training in many ways. Obviously, there is a bit of a, I guess you could say, a non-muscular element to it, because often you do have to be able to hear the difference between two sounds or the difference between what you are saying and the correct way to say it. But even that, that's now a completely different skill. Now we're going into more ear training and more into musicality and that kind of, you know, domain and field, and away from the intellectual side of language learning, right? Or it's even when we look at such as conversational things, conversation. When we look at conversation, even learning how to speak and communicate, that isn't even really an intellectual task. That is a social skill. And if you don't have the social skill and the social abilities of making friends, driving conversations, you know, laughing at the right time, smiling, looking people in the eye, shaking their hand, knowing all those basic kind of how to present yourself, if you don't feel really comfortable with yourself in those skills in your mother tongue, well, damn it, you're screwed in your target language. You're not even gonna, it's just difficult. It's gonna be so much more difficult, 5 times harder for you. Does that make sense? So I think it's interesting to look at language learning as a holistic kind of skill where it's not just something that requires the use of the brain, but it's something that really ties into so many different elements of life. And I think we don't always look at language learning in that respect. So anyway, this has been a long podcast episode. I thank you very much for the people who made it to the very end, who've listened to the whole thing. Please, I'm going to give you a bit of a request here. I would appreciate this. If you've made it this far in the podcast, I would be interested to know if you liked, disliked, or felt neutral towards longer podcast episodes. In other words, do you prefer them when they're shorter? Do you prefer them when they're longer? Or are you indifferent? If you could hit me up on Facebook or Instagram, Snapchat, one of those three places, at Polyglot Azren, PolyglotAzren. Hit me up and let me know kind of what your thoughts are on that. If there's like an overwhelming number of messages that come through that are like, yes, Azren, longer stuff, tell us more about your life, go deeper into things, like make our podcast, 40-minute podcast, like, yes, we will listen. I get an overwhelming number of messages about that. You know, I guess I'll have to listen to the audience, and that's going to become a thing that's way more normal. But again, it will have to be a significant number of messages that come through. So, or vice versa, if you didn't like the long version, you're like, Azren, not a fan, keep it to 10, 15, 20 minutes. And it is an overwhelming number of people. It's like, Azren, no, not a fan. Again, I'll make sure I accommodate that. So anyway, thank you for listening. I appreciate your attention. I appreciate your ears. Have a great night. I now got to go study for my test. And yeah, we'll chat later. Bye for now. See you.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.